sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Microphone did explode, literally.
Like De La Motte?
I don't think
the
we're gonna
sure shot. Sure to make your body drop.
If anything breaks between now and Friday, I don't think they're coming to fix it.
Ahoy!
Right? Is that
ahoy.
Right?
Doesn't really matter.
Might need some tape.
Hey Jim, don't take any of the Sharpies because I'm gonna be writing on stuff before I leave. I'm not gonna do it to where you could kind of see it out in the open. I'm gonna be sneaky, sneaky. Good job, Zoe.
I think we're good.
Leaving notes for people, potentially in the future, where you can't see it, but Mingles will probably have to end up cleaning it off. Yeah.
Well, then why would you do that? You're going to destroy the bathroom or something?
Mingles is just excited he still has a job because he had to take down. You know, how many times has Mark Mingles repainted the hallways in here? Mark Mingles is
But if we all had the work
ethic. The do-all-everything guy within this building.
If we all had the work ethic
God,
of Mark Mingles, we'd be a much better company.
Look at this guy's shirt.
We'd be a much better station.
Sexy shirt you have.
Red Sox won again last
night.
What color
is that
shirt? They just keep winning, by the way.
Is that pink? Is that salmon?
We're on radio. Nobody can see the shirt.
Oh, that's right. We're still on radio. Mm. Radio. Oh, nice shirt. Hardy's got Ace. That's a gimme. That's not like you bought that shirt. Somebody gave you that shirt.
You got any response to Zoe talking about your shirt?
No. Okay, no. I want to talk about the Red Sox win last night in a bullpen game that Alex Cora hates referring to as bullpen games. That's exactly what it was. It was a bullpen game.
Well, that's what the broadcast called it.
He doesn't like to admit that.
Then don't pull your starter in the second, third inning.
Hector Velasquez, your starter? He's not even a starter. It's a bullpen game.
It was a bullpen game.
The whole thing is a bullpen game. But
why not?
They're even winning the bullpen game.
Why not? 75% of the American League pitches bullpen games.
Their bullpen's not that good. Their bullpen isn't that good.
No.
But they're hitting this.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
See, that helps.
Last night after that win, every night, the Red Sox have post-game notes that are issued by their media relations department. They put out the post-game notes. All kinds of good nuggets of information. Near the top of the post-game notes, which I dabble in from time to time.
But you get some good factoids because of the pace they're on.
Here's something I noticed. This is what they wrote. The team wrote this in their post-game notes that they issue and email out to the media. The Red Sox are the eighth team in the expansion era, that is post-1961, to win as many as 64 of their first 93 games. The last team to do it was the Dodgers last season. Five of the previous seven won their league's pennant. Each of the previous seven finished the regular season with over 100 wins. The average win total for those teams, 1961 to present, 107.1 wins. So 107 wins on average for teams that have started out with 64 wins in their first 93 games.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
That's good pace.
Begs this question. If they don't win 100 games, do they fall apart? Do they fail?
Oh, God,
were they
yeah.
a train wreck down the
yeah,
stretch?
Absolutely, 100%. Absolutely. This team
I mean,
win.
That gives them seven games
easily,
of wiggle
right,
room there.
Right. That's like 2 weeks of baseball. Almost. No, a week and a half of baseball.
They yeah. have to win 100 games now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
oh, yeah.
now an expectation of having to win the
there
100
games. There was an
games.
Expectation a month ago. When
you don't put that in team notes unless this is talked about within. I mean, they know they're doing it.
There was an expectation a month ago when they were on pace for like 105. I mean, it's
and numbers that, north of that now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not 100. That isn't even the pace. That's just the average that those teams have done.
Yeah.
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 They have to win 100 games now or we will look at them like they were garbage down the stretch.
Then they, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That just tells you how crazy the number is. And how lopsided this league is.
It's almost like they would have to have a swoon. A dive. They would take a complete reversal, a 180, just a reversal and go
Jim
down.
Jim Roth has been doing his 500 math. If they go 500 the rest of the way, they are what, Jim?
They will have been 500 or less the end of the – oh, no, 500 the rest of the way. They'll be – they'd win exactly 100 games. If, if you discount last night's game and they went 36-36.
They're a 500 club against, like, the good teams. Against
oh, no, that'll
Astros,
be 99. That'll be under 100. So that's why go, I said the under
they
100.
All they have to do is go a game above 500 the rest of the way, and they'll get 100 wins. That's a must.
Even if you lose series to the good teams like the Yankees, you could still win the other series, which would offset it to get to 500. It gives you wiggle room. It gives you wiggle room against the good teams. And really, they're a 500 team against the good teams.
They could just beat up on all the terrible teams, though, and still get to the 100 wins.
And still get swept by the Yankees.
And have 100 be what a meaningless number in a year where there will likely be multiple teams doing this.
Yeah.
Multiple teams will be getting to the 100-win mark. You could have three teams that could get there in the American League. It's just insane. It's absolutely crazy that this could happen. So what about the second part? The second part is each of the previous seven finished with their 100 wins, but only five of the previous seven won their league's pennant. Five of seven. Does that mean the Red Sox now have to win the pennant or else be considered a failure compared to these other teams that have gotten off to these hot starts?
No, absolutely not. You can win over 100 games. You wouldn't be a flop, and you could lose to a better team, and that would not be a failure. Remember the Jacksonville Jaguars, the 12-4 Byron Leftwich Jaguars?
Yes.
Win divisions. I mean, their 12-4 football team goes on the road, gets knocked off by a 13-3 team, which eventually goes to the Super Bowl. Is that a bad year for them? No. They won a division.
See, I'm with you on this, and I'll tell you why. The 100-win number and their 64 wins to this point, as I've been saying for weeks, not impressive. It's a crazy number.
Yeah.
It's more a reflection on the entire American League than it is on the Red Sox. The Red Sox are a good team. This isn't to take away from what they've done.
Correct.
But no, I'm not going to hold it against them if they don't win the pennant because of their number of wins in the regular season. There's other teams that are doing this with them. The other teams that are doing it with them could just as easily go into a series and beat the Red Sox, and I'd have a hard time sitting there saying, oh, well, they failed. They came up short. No, because they're in a group of teams. There's a cluster of these teams in this position. They're not alone. And so I think you can't have it both ways.
So you can't
say they'd be a failure and then also say, like I've said, this win total is sort of phony. It's sort of inflated but given the competition in the field.
That means
three of the American League teams will be failures, winning 100
games.
I don't think
you can do that. I think that's unfair and that's not consistent.
And I think Murray's been good on this too. Asterisk it. You know, a small one. Very small, minute one. Like, this is an anomaly this year. This is weird.
It's inflated.
Yeah,
it's an inflated number.
It sure is.
The bar has changed. You know, you're grading on a curve this season. And that's...
Like, they're not a great team. This is not a great team.
See, I disagree with that.
They're good.
I think they are a great team.
You think they're great.
But I think they're a great... To this point, all we know is that they're a great regular season team. Yeah, they're a great team. As are the Yankees, as are the Astros. They're all great teams this year. They've separated themselves from the rest
good,
of the
man.
American
they're,
League.
They're all kind of together, all very good.
Yeah, good starting pitching.
You've got a guy who's on an epic pace offensively in J.D. Martinez. You've had other good defense to speak of from your position players. Yes, it's a great team. It's a great team.
They're doing it all without the little leader who's rehabbing in Arizona.
I mean, this also goes on the belief that you believe there are great teams every year. You know, these are the great teams, these are the good teams, these are the bad teams.
The great teams separate in the playoffs. That's what I'm waiting for.
Okay, that's fine, but given, you know, this sample
like Houston
of 2018,
was great last year.
The Red Sox are a great team.
Yeah.
Houston was great
the way they disposed of people
that
in
doesn't
the playoffs.
Mean I think they're going to win.
Right.
Come October.
Yeah.
That is the caveat, the great unknown.
Is the caveat losing to one of the 100-win teams, though?
Yeah.
What if they get Cleveland in the first round?
Well,
wins 15 less games and then they get knocked off by Cleveland.
You can't lose to Cleveland.
Right, you get swept by Cleveland and you only win one game against Cleveland, you will be looked at as a fraud, Jim.
The only acceptable losses in a playoff series or game will be to the Astros or to the Yankees.
Well, it's pretty good by them, though.
I agree with that.
Anything else? Then we will call them on
fraud.
It because it will be fraud team all over again. And also, Jim, I would say how it goes down you can be considered as well. If you go into a series against the Astros or Yankees and you get swept, you could sit there and say, you were not the team that you had win total-wise. You were not with those great teams at the top of the American League. You didn't even compete come October. But I have a little bit more faith this year that they'll be able to do that and actually, you know, win multiple games. 617-779-0985. That's where we start. 100 wins for the Red Sox. You might as well go ahead and book it. And if they don't get there, something went really wrong with the 2018 Red Sox. The Red Sox are still in on Manny Machado. That's according to one report. We'll get to that next. Also, an update on Red Sox TV ratings. We'll do that next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air...
Balls everywhere, balls everywhere, balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zoe leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Do we take these rejoins with us?
Yeah, so everything's going with us. Ugh. Everything's going with us, okay?
You leave this one here.
To the listener, the listeners will have no idea that we moved. Everything will sound exactly the same.
We can do it for our backyards.
Everyone will feel that we are exactly the same come Monday as we are right now.
I'm just happy everybody can do shows from their yards now, like Felger.
Yes!
That's a cool new thing the company's allowed.
It's innovative.
I appreciate Beasley for that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. It's going to be Fridays that I don't want to really come in, you know? But I can do it from, like, Cape or something. Do it from a boat.
So Dan Shaughnessy had a very big story that we discussed with him yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And there's sort of this idea that baseball is in trouble, which it is. And we have repeatedly said over the last few days, although baseball has its issues and attendance is down across the league and ratings are probably not great in some markets. So you and I have said repeatedly, it probably won't catch up to Boston for a very long time. The Red Sox won't have issues selling tickets. The Red Sox will always have eyeballs watching, keeping track of the team. The fan base may not be as passionate as involved as they were in the past.
It'll be a different distribution of tickets. The tickets will always be bought, but you're like, hey, I got tickets. Do you want to go?
Well, but people are still going to watch.
Right.
Right? I mean, here people are not quitting on the team, and a big part of that is the team is good. It's easy to watch a good team. If you're in Kansas City right now, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you stomach that.
I don't know how you do it in Pittsburgh.
Or you do it there, or you do it in Baltimore. I don't know how you get by watching a team that is that bad. And watching a league that is that lopsided. And watching a league where you don't see anything for 3 minutes and 45 seconds at a whack. So I feel that at this time of year, Nesson and the Red Sox start to float out their ratings to, you know, just let it be known, I guess. Or in this case, sort of flex the muscle. Nick Cafardo had this tweet last night. Nesson has done a 6.16 household rating over the first 85 games of the Red Sox season. A rise from 5.15 at the same juncture in 2017. There's also a rise of 13% in adults 18 to 34 and a 36% rise in adults 25 to 54. And then this to me just feels like a Red Sox dagger or like a point they want to push. This feels like PR, like it was handed out by the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Comparison, Celtics finished at a 3-2 and the Bruins at a 2-9. Like, just reaffirming that we're number two, we have, you know, all kinds of viewership, and we're still a big deal and bigger than these other teams, because as Dan Shaughnessy wrote in his column, all anybody wants to talk about is Kyrie Irving and NBA free agency and Tom Brady and Edelman and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what this sort of leaves out?
What?
That the Red Sox are down from where they were 2 years ago in 2016.
Right.
At this point in 2016, it was 6.76.
There was a lot of buzz that year.
David Ortiz, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that made a huge
farewell tour?
Do you think the 6.76 was a huge boost from the year before? At that point in 2015, 5.98. There's not like this big. They're pretty steady. The ratings are steady. They're holding strong. They're good.
I don't know if you're watching every night for Ortiz's last year too. I don't think. I mean, I think you watch when you want to watch. You watch against good teams. You watch against competitive teams. If there's a draw, you're going to watch. You're not just going to sit there and think, oh my god, I got to see David Ortiz tonight. I got to see David Ortiz tomorrow night.
2013, a team that was good, was really good. Had the emotional involvement of everything that was going on here in 2013 with the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
That year they did a 7.26, better than they're doing now. from 2004 to 2010, they were the best in the majors. They averaged like over a 9. So, okay, listen, you're doing well. But I think if you're trying to frame this as, look, like the Red Sox are back, no, they're the same as they've always been.
Yeah. Chad Finn had this too. Same thing that you just said too. From 04 to 10, it's, you know, the highest rated baseball cable network in the majors.
Yeah, and they regularly did over a 9.
They dipped in 10, and the problem was they reacted to it, and they signed Carl Crawford and brought him in 2011. That's when the Crawford signing started.
I would say that the news on the Red Sox ratings is good that they've bounced back from last year, but don't let anyone start, you know, getting you to believe that somehow they've had this huge upswing in ratings this year and they're hitting some sort of level that they haven't. No, this is pretty much where they're at.
Shocker, wins
there's
people
some,
watch.
There's
right?
some small I, ups and downs, but this is about where they've been since, yeah. let's say, 2012-ish. Or 2013, 6, 7, somewhere
watch.
In there.
You win,
5, 6, 7, you're in there somewhere. There's no drastic ratings improvement that has been seen this year over the last, let's say, 6 or 7 years.
I think people like Cora, though. You know, I think you know, Farrell really turned people off. The disconnect that was there, the boring, stagnant answers, the commentary that he always gave. And I just think it's a fresh manager. Seems to have his handle on things. Players seem to like him, and I think people like the product. And they win, and you're going to watch this year. That's it. You know, he kind of puts it out there, tells you what he's thinking. I think people and fans appreciate that.
Well, I could tell you that I saw a tweet last night from Jared Carabas, our buddy Jared Carabas. That was in response.
He's
to
still alive.
He retweeted Cavardo and wrote in all caps in his typical style. But baseball is dying, you guys. Nobody cares about the Red Sox anymore. Too many strikeouts.
No, nobody ever said that.
And I'm like, you child.
Man, it's a baseball
you
thing.
You child, Carabas, who, by the way, will win that home run derby that they're going to do.
I disagree.
But you disagree?
Yeah.
Who do you think's going to win?
Portnoy can hit the wiffle ball. Believe it or not, Portnoy can hit a wiffle ball. Jared, I think, is like, he's got that Tebow syndrome.
I will put my money on Jared.
Jared's got Tebow syndrome. A little, like, too stiff up top.
But
no,
nobody.
No leg power.
Nobody ever said the thing that he suggests. Anybody. I haven't heard anybody say that. That nobody cares about the Red Sox? No. Too many strikeouts? Yes. Too many strikeouts. That part, everybody's saying, because it's true.
That's there an are... obvious reference to Shaughnessy's column.
Of course it is.
Yes.
Of course it is. And Shaughnessy never said nobody cares about the Red Sox. But he's...
But that's
listen,
how Red Sox
everybody
fans,
this week...
But that's how defensive Red Sox fans take it.
Everybody's responding to Shaughnessy's column this week.
Everybody.
Everybody.
He was on high heat.
I mean, it was a pretty well-written
Chris
column.
Chris Russo had him on.
When, you know what? You know when you've done it right is when you get that kind of reaction yeah. because it was... The problem with Shaughnessy's column for a lot of people is it had really good, valid points that were backed up by things. Right? The 3 minutes, 45 seconds, the players poll. I mean, there were things
yeah, the
in
Verducci
there that you
stopwatch.
You can't really refute. And so that's why it really gets under the skin of some of the baseball people. Right? Really gets under some of their skin. But what are you going to do? I even saw Tom Caron last night tweeting out about it. It's under his skin as well. Shaughnessy is under his skin.
Defenders of the product.
Yeah, he retweeted Cafardo and said, wait, all I've been reading.
Hearable.
I think he meant to say hearing and reading. Reading and hearing. Is that no one cares about this team. Again, who said no one cares about this team? And that they've fallen to third in interest, and that baseball is dead. Guess I'll see you on the postgame show. They're very sensitive about this.
Yeah,
very sensitive. They see no problems with their sport. This is what it comes down to. So I asked Shaughnessy
yesterday.
People
care, but they're still third. The Celtics have passed them, haven't they?
And yeah. Well, not in terms, I think, in terms of
we talked
numbers.
Kyrie yesterday,
in terms
happened.
Of passion for the product, yes, they've dropped. Because in sheer numbers, they have not.
That doesn't mean they've dropped. It means the Celtics have elevated.
Fair.
That doesn't mean that they've gone
fair.
Down. It means
that's
the Celtics have
statement.
Gone up, right?
Celtics deserve
but if
the
you're,
commentary.
If you're measuring it on number of fans, you're not going to win that if you're a Celtics fan or a Bruins fan.
Well, it's a different sport.
It's not on volume. But if you're talking about how passionate and how involved the fan bases are, I mean, I'd even make the argument that the Bruins fans are still nuts.
Well, wait a minute.
Which
you
is
see,
why we love
like,
them.
You'll see your group of buddies in Quincy. You'll hang out with them. We'll do this stuff here 4 hours a day. We're talking about what we do each and every day. From that standpoint, I think it's Patriots. I think it's Celtics. I think it's Red Sox, then Bruins.
Let me put it this way. In conversation among, with Boston
about?
Sports fans who are discussing all four teams
take
on a regular
price
basis.
Out of it.
Right?
Take
they're
David
in all
Price
the,
out of it.
You know, they read the sports pages. They talk about sports. with their buddies or at work, whatever it might be. The Celtics come up more in conversation now than the Red Sox.
Celtics
do.
Are hot
that,
right now.
That to me is a fact. That's what I believe. It doesn't mean more people are watching the Celtics than the Red Sox. You want to do it on sheer numbers, the Red Sox will win.
Talking conversation, not fans.
Top
not
of mind. What's
of
top
fans.
Of mind
right.
is what I would say.
And come September, down the stretch, when they're playing these tough teams and heading into the playoffs.
The yep. Patriots will blow everybody out of the water like they always do.
But the Red Sox will pass the Celtics again at that point. And because it's just it's a cyclical thing where it's off season, it's playoffs, number one, off season, number two, and then regular season's number three. And baseball's now in that same category. Just like NBA is, just like the hockey is, the regular season doesn't matter as much to the fans. It's like college hoops, the NCAA tournament. People watch it. They don't watch the regular season college hoops, right?
No, they don't. Regular season college hoops does not rate.
It's the event society we live in now.
Yeah, sure is. 617-779-0985. We need to get to Manny Machado. We mentioned that we would, and we still will. I promise that, because there's a report that I really don't believe, and that is that the Red Sox are back in on Machado. That and Dustin Pedroia is going home to Arizona next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
You make that 8 wins in a row for the Red Sox after their 8-4 win over the Rangers last night at Fenway Park. Alex Cora, who's doing what in the lineup?
Lineup-wise, everybody's doing an outstanding job. It's not only Mookie or JD. Xander's doing an outstanding job. You saw Jackie today going the other way. Swihart.
Tonight, the Sox go for win number 9 in
a row.
You
put an S on the end of Swihart?
Swihart.
Calls him Swihart now?
I think somebody clipped the sound here. It's like Swihart's bat has been really good.
Oh,
I
gotcha.
I think somebody clipped it there.
Swihart.
It's Chris Sale against Bartolo Colon tonight. Huh? Nice.
What's Price pitch?
There was a young pitcher and an old pitcher.
Sale's 9-4 in the year with a 2.36 ERA. Bartolo,
a skinny pitcher and a fat pitcher.
They look like the number 10 standing next to each other on the mound. Colon 5-6 on the year with a 4.65 earned run average. At Wimbledon, men's quarterfinal matches, Novak Djokovic took sets 1 and 3 from Kai Nishikori. He's also up 4-1 in the fourth set. Roger Federer took the first two sets from Kevin Anderson, lost the third, but Federer's up 2-1 in set number 4. Headlines are brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jim Louth cut our microphones off. That cold brew at Dunkin'. Brown sugar cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. America runs on Dunkin'.
Why did he cut?
I don't know.
Quick trigger, Jim.
You know what it is?
You know
it's
today?
A getaway day for
it's getaway
Jim.
Day.
My last day ever in this control room.
Oh, God.
Hey, no. Hardy, how hot was it last night?
That is a classic Louth, too.
It is.
He does lots of last things. Oh, this is the last Tuesday we'll ever be driving in.
Yeah.
And last Friday, he's like, oh, this is the last Friday I'll ever be here.
How was your traffic today, Hardy?
It sucked, but I'm not making, like, I'm not getting all sentimental about
it. Jim, you're being a bitch
it.
Today, okay?
Are you not here tomorrow, Jim?
Nope.
You're on
he's done.
No.
He's got to come back Sunday to work the board, though.
I know. He's too absurd.
Hey,
Keaton tweeted us, the brown sugar cold brew from Dunkin' Donuts has a sneaky good amount of sugar in it.
Sneaky good,
sneaky
huh?
good. Zoe, who asked, does the cold brew have sugar in it? Yeah, it's brown sugar cold brew.
Well, I mean, I didn't know if it's a sweetener that...
No, that's a legit question. Like
grams of sugar, or is it sweetened or unsweetened?
Is it,
you could order tea or unsweetened tea.
Right. Is it, like, you say brown sugar cold brew, does that mean if you order a brown sugar cold brew black, is it sweetened? That's what you're asking.
Yes.
And do you know the answer?
I really don't. I really
it is
don't,
naturally
I don't
flavored
want the sugar.
Brown sugar syrup. Is
oh
what it
God!
Is.
That'll send me into tizzy. I can't have too much sugar.
So I don't know if it's like that. I don't think they're dumping
candy
bags
corn,
of sugar
candy cane,
into it.
Candy cans. 4 major food groups. Gee, you know what Jim did last night? By the way, speaking of Jim,
no.
How hot was it last night? It was like unbearable. It was like 97. Jim took his kids, got in a car, and drove a half an hour for them to run races on a track for a free watermelon. And a ribbon. I had this conversation with Jim on the way in.
Did you?
Like, this didn't take place, like, 300 yards from Jim's house.
I must have.
Jim drove down to exit 5, almost to Connecticut, so his kids could run around the track.
Yeah, they wanted to run track.
They wanted to run track. How old are your kids, Jim?
8 and 6.
8 and 6.
Baltimore Sun has this headline.
Oh.
Red Sox in recent contact with Orioles about possible Machado trade.
Well, wouldn't they? The Yankees are in on him, right?
You know who wrote this story?
Who?
Peter Schmuck.
What a schmuck that guy is.
I think he's been on the Baseball Reporters before with Mass. In fact,
that poor guy, that's Peter Schmuck.
That's not a joke when you take his name and use his name.
If I was his father and I had a sense of humor, I'd have named him Iama.
Beetle?
Here's what Peter Schmuck wrote. In the wake of reports that the New York Yankees have renewed their interest in shortstop Manny Machado, two industry sources indicated Tuesday the Boston Red Sox also have been in recent contact with the Orioles. I'm not buying this.
They're just doing their due diligence, I think.
No, I don't think that's even what's going on. I think that the Red Sox want it out there because they want to try and drive up the price on the Yankees.
Yep.
And the Orioles want it out there because they want to try and drive up the price on the Yankees.
They want more return, right.
I got two sources, one in Baltimore, one in Boston. They both say the Red Sox are in. Well, they both have an interest in wanting it out there that they are in. This is the time of year where you get a lot of bullcrap that is reported leading up to the trade deadline. There's a lot of posturing. There is a lot of strategy involved in what you leak to the media as a baseball executive. And they all do it, and they all talk to the media, and they talk to their guys. And I think this report, to me, suspect. I just don't see it happening for the Red Sox. I don't see it being a great fit. I don't see them wanting to part with any of their young major league-level talent. That includes Betts, Bogarts, Devers. Who am I missing? Benintendi. I don't think they want to part with any of those guys. And so I look at this report and say, this is one that I don't really want to buy in on. I don't. You?
No.
Feels sort of bogus.
Yeah.
Sort of inflated.
Don't get your hopes up.
No, I'm not getting my hopes up. I'm not. Other thing, Dustin Pedroia going home to Arizona.
Done.
Feels that way.
Done.
We've been saying this for months.
I don't understand this. That's where he's comfortable? That's the way it was termed. We went into rehab where he's comfortable.
He's not close.
That means he is done, folks.
He's not close. And they haven't ruled him out coming back this year. Does it look like he's coming back this year?
I mean, I guess this is what they do. Didn't they send Hanley down to Florida? Like when he was done for the year? Like, you go rehab in Florida. Go do your thing there. I thought that happened at the end of the year, didn't it? Maybe I'm mistaken.
They sent it wasn't guys for away. Comfort, though. It was for to disconnect from all of this and concentrate on himself.
Yeah.
Was he grinding too hard on the team's success?
I don't know,
but when I hear that, I sort of
maybe
think
that he's not directly responsible for everything is really affecting him.
Do you think maybe they just don't care to have him around?
Maybe he's just not the type of little leader we thought he was.
Is it possible? Now, this team has obviously a good direction, and it feels like they got a good group of guys, and they're all buying in. It feels a little different this year. It just does.
Imagine
do you think possibly there are young players who look at him and say, why is this guy still here? Why do we still have to deal with him?
Because you have 16, 15, 14,
why is he in charge? Why is he our leader?
Maybe
he's not even playing anymore.
Maybe not because of you know, who's this old guy? Why is he the leader? I think if that's the case, Beetle, and that sentiment exists, it's because look at how we're playing. Why would we add anything to this team? Which is, by the way, what I asked when he got activated the first time. I said, why does this team need Dustin Pedroia right now? And said, oh, it's Dustin Pedroia. You're kidding? You got to put him in. I said, I understand everything that he did, but forget about the name associated or anything else. This guy hasn't played baseball, and you've got a team that a month ago, whenever it, when was he activated off the DL, Beetle?
When Hanley got whacked.
So call it.
Remember, we knew Petey was coming. This is why we had to get rid of him.
I think it was May 24th.
Okay, end of May.
At that point, did you?
We had a pretty good idea what this team was going to be like 2 months in.
He activated that Thursday or Friday. Friday, so it would have been May 25th.
All right. Team was playing well.
Yes.
Didn't need anything in the way, in term. And what did that team need that Dustin Pedroia is going to be able to provide?
But he would be, if healthy, he's an upgrade over what they've had at second base. No one's going to deny that. If healthy, which he's not.
But he's not healthy. Everybody knew he wasn't healthy, and he hadn't played baseball.
Okay, but if he could have been the player that he was last season, that's an upgrade in a big way.
If he could have jumped right in and been mid-season form, you know, day one. I get it. But he wasn't, and he got injured again, or whatever they want to call it. So if there was
the thing that's weird,
if there's
is
any
that
question of that sentiment, it's because we didn't need the guy.
He played with it last year. He batted .293, and defensively he was fine, and he's much better than what they've had to offer defensively. I don't think anyone's going to argue that he wouldn't have been an upgrade if he were healthy and could actually play. But he can't play. He's not healthy. It doesn't look like he's ever going to be able to really play again. And so at that point, what do? You keep him around? Well, if he was a guy that was, you know, universally loved in the clubhouse, maybe you do. But you've got a sort of a different group of guys, younger guys that are sort of go with the flow, a little bit more laid back. They like their manager because he's a little bit more laid back. And for lack of a better word, Dustin Pedroia is a bit of a hard ass. And now he's 35. And you might have these young guys who look at him and say, why are you here still? Why? Get out.
Why are you talking to the
press? Maybe not right. So much a hard ass in the
air. We're playing. Why are you talking?
He himself is a hard O. And I don't always mean that as in a negative connotation. I think on teams, sometimes you need a couple of hardos running around, and especially
like
if
hardos.
It works for them. And it totally worked for him. I mean, I think the philosophy remains, even though he wasn't able to come back this year. Last year, if you had had 25 of them, how would that team would have been in the playoffs? How would they have fared over the last couple few seasons if everybody approached their workday like Dustin Pedroia did and probably still does? That part of it is not an insult. It's just in terms of what that team needs right now, we don't need anything.
Yeah.
It's nothing personal, guy. But
guy.
Sorry, guy. Kid? We got a 3.5 game lead over the Yankees. We're on pace to win 150 games.
Yeah.
We don't need anything.
All right, Sox 100 wins. Machado, yay or nay? Do you buy that report? Dustin Pedroia is going home to Arizona. We're talking about that. I promise we'll get to your calls next. And also,
it's baseball.
Mookie Betts has a terrible idea.
Oh, it's the worst.
We had a caller yesterday that said Mookie Betts just doesn't do it for me. He doesn't. He has no personality. He's not relatable. I can't.
He did not relate to anybody on this one
as a fan.
Like, I would not watch 1 second of All Star festivities if this ever occurred.
Betts has a bad idea. We'll tell you what it is and get to your
the
calls
worst.
Next.
Going on.
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mine. Bud.
617-779-0985. Mookie Betts has a terrible, terrible idea.
That's so stupid. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard. It's like the worst thing Betts has ever done or said.
Maybe he just didn't think about it all
just
that
hit
much.
Just hit the ball and don't talk.
Mookie Betts has suggested that the Home Run Derby could be replaced with a skills competition.
That's the only thing I watched during All-Star Week.
Betts talked to Rob Bradford.
You want me to watch nothing?
Do something else or take it out. Don't even do it. Talking
What's wrong
about
with it?
The Home Run Derby. Anything you do too much, people are going to get tired of it. Instead, Betts recommends MLB adopt a skills competition like the one he participated in when he was a kid during the annual youth tournament at the Baseball Hall of Fame.
You know what I do with skills competitions? I don't watch it. You know when the quarterbacks all go to Hawaii and they get little chalk things on the balls and they pick it up and they got a clock and they got to run through the ropes and they hit those things moving? I don't watch that. And I'm a football guy because it's stupid.
Now, this says Cooperstown every year hosts 4 different skills-based events, including a mini home run derby called the King of SWAT, during which players get 5 swings per round before receiving 10 chances in the finals. That is home run derby. I don't understand what the difference would be.
Right.
And then the variety kicks in after that. The golden arm,
frisbee toss,
pits the players in center field, requiring them to make throws to home plate.
Ooh, Jackie Bradley. Somebody's going to hashtag vote JBJ.
They are rewarded for accuracy and
vote
distance.
JBJ.
Imagine watching Yasiel Puig face off against Yoenis Cespedes in such a contest.
No, thanks. No.
I'm good. I don't need to watch that.
I say, well, hey, Brody, get in here. You're missing this.
The Roadrunner, listen to this. The Roadrunner tests speeds on the base paths. timing players as they run from home to home.
Yeah. That's exactly what you do during your nice, relaxing all-star break is pull a hamstring. Running speed things. No. Don't be stupid.
Finally, there's a Round the Horn Plus, which has a team of players rifle the ball around the field to one another in a timed event. This sounds horrible, Mookie. No. Nobody would watch that. In fact, you would have to tape that and edit it down to like an hour, and I still don't think you would get people to watch.
The place would be packed. I mean, people would be packed.
It's a terrible idea, Betts.
I like it.
Stop. Oh, shut up. You don't like anything about
it. I like the skills competition.
Closest to the pin or longest drive?
Absolutely. It's like drive, chip, and putt. I like it in hockey. I like it in basketball. The home run derby does zero for me.
You know, my favorite thing.
I have one issue with the home run derby.
Longest drive.
I mean,
yard.
I haven't watched 1 second of it probably in the last 2 years now.
That's the only thing I watched.
What's to watch? Home run.
Chris Berman.
Home run.
I like the home run derby. The home run derby is too slow. It needs to pick up the pace. It needs to be timed.
There's nothing compelling about it at all. Nothing.
Well, there is if you have the best hitters in it. I enjoy it.
You wouldn't enjoy a timed run from a home to third or something?
No. There's nothing for me.
I put a couple fat guys out there. Yeah.
I'd at least watch it. I'd at least watch it once. I won't watch the home run derby.
Fine.
Not for 1 second.
I don't care what you watch.
Yeah, we don't care what you think.
I don't care.
Okay, so it only matters what you two think
pretty
might
much
be interesting.
It's the world according to Beetle and Zoe.
All right.
Well, name on the show.
I'm just busting.
He's
that's 2 days
he's
in a row.
So angry
just
right
two
now.
Days in a row.
That is two. He did take
you know
two
what?
Shots
no,
at you.
No, it's fine. It allows me to tap out for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You'll hear me
thanks,
on headlines,
Sarge.
And that's it.
Thanks, Sarge.
Oh, way to go, Wallach.
Yeah.
Wallach. Let's just read some scores here, Wallach.
No, I get what you're saying. That
love
some people don't like the home run derby.
The home run derby
sucks. You can't make the case. Fine, if you think it sucks, you can't make the case that this is somehow better.
I have
and
no
more
idea.
Entertaining.
Okay, because Mookie Betts came up with three ideas. That's what it has to be. No, some kind of a skills competition. Do you watch the 3-point contest in NBA All Star Weekend?
I think the 3-point is better than the dunk contest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all they
but
have.
I don't think the dunk contest
all they
sucks
have for Major League Baseball. Is the game and home run derby. And generally, they both suck. I think the home run derby just sucks. There's no point in watching it.
Yeah.
There's no there's zero reason to watch.
You know who likes the home run derby?
Who?
Young people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they should probably tell their guys that you got to do it. Like, you know what I think it is? I think it's that Mookie Betts has become a power hitter, and he just doesn't want to do home run derby, so he would like to see it eliminated so he never has to face the question of, why haven't you participated in the home run derby? Why won't you take part in this thing? Also, another suggestion that I think would be great that I know baseball is not considered, but they should have. Ichiro with a home run derby would have been awesome. Who cares? Who cares that he's not a current player? Why does this matter? They should have allowed that. That was something that started picking
still
up
alumni
steam.
Home run derby.
Well, like I recent mean, alumni?
No, yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
senior circuit?
Yeah. Ortiz, Ichiro?
Yes.
That's already two right
oh,
there.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yes. There's something to that. Brian,
you have like Pedro throwing pitches?
Yes.
Throwing BP?
Brian's in Pembroke. Hey, Brian.
Yeah, hey, guys. Betts' idea is stupid. It's like Battle of the Network Stars.
Herschel Walker?
I would like to see Dave Kingman come back for the alumni game, though.
Oh, hey, Frank Thomas!
So, on Pedroia,
Canseco.
A quick comment.
Everybody ignores like what they do in the NHL. Like, do you ever watch like the speed skating?
No.
No.
You've never seen that?
I've seen a clip of it. I've never sat down and watched it. No.
But at least they tried something different. Then they went to 3-on-3. It's like the NHL All-Star Weekend. They'll try different stuff.
Little
I mean,
you talk about
baseball
guy.
Being five-tool players. The All-Star Weekend is one tool. But you get to watch guys who are good at one thing doing that one thing.
Going yard.
Try something else. There's got to be something they can do in addition to the lame-ass... Been there, done that, tried tweaking the scoring system, home run, dirt. There's got to be one more thing they can do other than an old-timer game to make me watch because there's no reason to watch anything for the Major League Baseball All-Stars. I just, nothing about it interests me.
All right. Hey, so
it's a really good show. Today,
yeah.
I'm not even going to do the headlines.
I'll do headlines.
Everybody's area is tapped out.
Snap, huh? Tom brings up a good point, though. That it's about the talent, isn't it?
Hey, shirt.
Beetle, would you like home run derby? Like Tom just said, if it was Judge, J.D. Martinez,
yes.
Stanton,
yes.
Mike
yeah.
Trout,
yes.
all
yes,
the big...
I'm saying,
the problem is and superstars
it's
won't
it's
do
amazing
it.
When you have the talent. Look at 99. Look at when it was here. Love look it. At anyone.
No, 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 no. But
90s.
99 wasn't didn't have all the... There was like Dante Bichette hitting home runs.
If
that was a
good
Fenway.
Players yeah, in it, if like the top who, home run hitters right. are in it, okay, is J.D. Martinez going to be in the home run derby? Then why do I want to watch? Who cares?
And that's what I think the problem is. Guys not participating in it is the biggest problem.
Right? Yes, but if you get like the fastest people out there, the guys with the best arms throwing from center field, it's like, all right, it might suck. Let me see it once.
Right.
Let me see it once to decide.
I mean, you had good ones, though. I'm sorry. You had Sosa. You had Maguire. You had Griffey in that one in 99. You had Bagwell
you had
in that
you
one.
Gotta you had the superstars. You can't
come on,
have these
Jim. I mean, that
shows.
Was a pretty – that had plenty of talent in it. They had plenty of home run hitters in that home run derby.
You guys play wiffle ball in here. I'm going to watch Billy Lane
Nomar
swing.
Was
you know
in
why? Because he swings like Manny.
Nomar wasn't afraid to be in it. He wasn't afraid to be in the home run derby. And if you look every year, not every... I mean, I'm trying to figure out like what the very best lineup was in the home run derby. There's good ones, but even in the years where they're really good, you have a guy who's like sort of borderline. 92, Maguire, Griffey, Ripken, Joe Carter, Sheffield, McGriff, Bonds, Larry Walker. That's pretty good.
It's a pretty damn good line.
That's pretty good. I mean, those guys were all big names.
I thought show's pretty good today.
Look at 93. Juan Gonzalez, Griffey, Fielder, Bell, Bonds, Bonilla, David Justice, Mike Piazza.
Nice. Oh,
that's a good year.
Sexy year.
He didn't hit a single home run, Piazza.
You know, and you
not
know
a
what,
single
you,
home run.
You really know what we're starting to get to, too, is other than like Stanton, Judge, and Martinez, there are no... Really aren't that many sexy home run hitters in the game,
do you know
as
who,
there was in past
years. Do you know
years.
Who won the 99 home run derby?
McGuire did.
No. Did not win. Griffey won.
Griffey
it's
won.
It's part of back-to-back. He won a 98 and
McGuire hit the furthest ones, right?
Oh,
they
man,
got his balls,
some
and that's
bombs.
When they found out they were juiced.
He dropped some
the
bombs.
Balls were juiced.
Headlines with Hardy, and you know what? Why don't we get to more of your baseball calls here in 90 seconds? Don't go anywhere.